Welcome to selfdiscoveryradio.com, where the orchard of wisdom is just ready for picking. We celebrate your why, the journey that you've taken that inspires someone else. We support your services. We support your story. Come and be our guest. Become a host. Be an author with us. Come see what we've got. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Eco Solutions. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and welcome to the Get Synced series. We are bringing you people around the world who are movers and shakers. They're people who have given their lives, their heart, their souls, their spirits to saving this planet and humanity on it. And each person has their own particular instrument, their own particular way of doing it. And it's something that inspires us, enables us, and invites us to see what we can do that can participate in making this world and appreciating this world and all that it has to give, so that is going to be sustainable and around for us for many more years to come. Because at the rate that we're going, we're not going to have that sustainability, and we are going to be facing some dark times. So my guest is Kate Hubber, and we're going to be talking about leadership, the people that she inspires to become leaders, to taking this wonderful information and invitation to people to come about and bring their instrument to her own orchestra. So, you know, we're creating an album here, folks, you know, and it's and it's all about the moving and the shaking and making things happen. So welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Is it Kate or Kat? How do you go?
Kat.
Kat. Okay. Kate. Yeah.
Bring your roar forward, people.
My daughter's a very cat person. She'll love that. So, okay. So we know what the problem is, and we actually did do a little insert. So if the connection isn't so brilliant in me slicing it together, we got talking, and before we even realized what, we had already got a beautiful half an hour of information. So we're going to dive right into that, and then we're going to come back to what we can do about it. Okay, folks?
So my life is all about doing good things with good people for good outcome, and not everybody knows that they're leaders yet, so that's lucky me. I get to be in a position of mentoring them.
Yes.
To kind of fluff up their wings a little bit. And just like my path to deep care for Earth is not one event, it's a series of recoveries from heartbreaking events. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hopeful that I can be the strength and courage and reassurance for others as they go through their own paths.
Right. And it is about inspiration for invitation, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you inspire someone and it ignites a flame in them, it ignites some passion in them, and then there's that invitation to come and be a part of it and bring their instrument to the orchestra, so to speak. So it's not about dictation or ramming it down people's throats. It is about that inspiring them. And a lot of the time, people just don't know how, they're too overwhelmed. They just don't know what to do. Or how to do it, how to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So igniting a consciousness is sometimes very much head in the sand, because I don't know what to do. Does this mean I have to change my whole lifestyle? You know, so it's kind of deciding. You don't just step into leadership. You become the leader, you know, by your own self-discovery and what your role is to play. So that's exciting that you discover those leaders, because my God, do we need them.
Yeah, and I'm noticing that the old white-haired guys who mostly have power right now, they do
the Voldemorts.
Yeah, they do seem to have a little more receptivity for young voices, and we really do. We urgently need to break through. They're already always listening. It's a loud drone that, you know, we live in a win-lose world, and young people just don't live like that.
No.
They live in this moment in the world of infinite possibilities.
Yes, the now, which is what we all need to. I mean, if we take care of now, then our next moment is pretty well seeded, isn't it? And yes, it's I think also what we're looking at, we're, you know, amongst the gray hairs, there's some people listening and looking to those future leaders, and there's some that they're still so protecting their turf.
Right.
And I think what it is, again, it's not about, you know, making people feel guilty. It's about empowering people to take back the beautiful planet they were given and their part in it. And it goes down to everything in life. We have a responsibility and ownership of self and our contribution in everything in life. And we're residents here. And we need to kind of take care of our turf and, you know, not abuse it because we ain't getting any deposit back.
Well, I think it feels to me it comes down to this. It's a simple financial calculation.
Yes.
Either take care of what you have and what you are responsible for now, or you lose it. Or if you retain it, you will be also responsible for the repair of it.
You're right.
With penalties and fines. And the way that we're treating Earth now, throwing so much carbon into the atmosphere, is creating an existential crisis for our species in this moment.
And they see, the interesting thing is, I have somebody that was on last week that's not a part of the umbrella, and he's talking about climate change is inevitable. It's part of Earth's process. We're just speeding it up.
Yeah.
And a lot of what we're doing is, it comes down to the consumerism and the waste that we're producing that produces an awful lot of the problems. And of course, you're looking at the meat market and everything else that goes along with it. But to say we're completely responsible for global warming, it's a natural process. But apparently, we're going to go warmer before we go cooler by looking at the history of it. But we are exponentially increasing that, putting it up on speed. But he's also talking about, which is something that we don't talk enough about, is preparing. I mean, we are in that climate change, but what are we doing about countries that are in famine because they can't grow anything? You know, they're migrating to other countries where they can actually grow food or house themselves, because it's not, you know, it's all very well to be talking about it, but what are we doing about it? You know, that's the thing. And it's not just the carbon. He is a scientist, and he was actually talking about how they can take certain carbonization and do it in a process that actually increases the growth of vegetables, etc. And so it's understanding where we are too. Yes, we created this. We can't just keep harping on about that. We've got to look at what we're going to do about it. It's not just about taking all the cars away. It's about changing our industry. But it's also looking at other ways of taking what the problem is and looking at it from a different perspective and making it into a solution.
I look at this as such a joyful, outrageously infinite opportunity. It's unreal what is possible.
Exactly.
If we choose that path.
Yeah.
Imagine a world that is infinitely energized. Mm-hmm. Really think about that. Women freed up from domestic duties in the house because everything will be automated.
Yeah.
Cooking, cleaning, arranging, maintenance of homes, yard work, all of these things. Imagine if we really got serious about harnessing the power of the sun, 1 hour of it, that's all, yeah. Sarah.
Yeah.
Would power up every inch of energy that we require for an entire year.
I know. But see, this is the thing is, for over a year now, I've been doing shows on ecology, and a lot of people say, why? What's that got to do with self-development and self-awareness? And I say everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we're not being aware of what our footprint is, if we're not being aware of our practice, if we're always constantly chasing the consumerism to be happy, we're creating the pollution that's causing some of the problems. So we have to actually understand it's everything to do with who we are and how we interact with light, how we participate, and how we choose to look at a problem in a resolving way. Right, and I've interviewed some people that have come up with some incredible, simple ideas. So some people have been working on it 30 years, and you know, government, they didn't bother going to governments because governments change all the time. You know, they've come up with these ideas because they saw a need for it. And they went after creating a solution, and other entrepreneurs and philanthropists and everybody else got behind them because they knew somebody had to. So we can't wait for governments or the gray hairs to catch up. We need to get proactive now, don't we?
Yeah, the time for waiting and for actually understanding is pretty much over.
Yeah.
We have a 10-year window, according to Indigenous elders, to radically change the way we relate with all species on Earth.
Yeah, and that's being generous.
So those who are informed, it's for us to learn and take action immediately in every arena that we can, everywhere, everyone doing everything as fast as we can.
Right. And the thing is again, people get inundated. Oh, but what can I do? You know, some people have turned to veganism, some to vegetarianism, some people to electric cars, some people into not buying anything with plastic. The whole thing is that every single little thing counts, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. It's true. All of those individual decisions on a daily basis do matter because they reconnect us with Earth in a new way.
Yeah.
So it's really meta. It's not just recycling, reusing, reducing, repurposing, all of the re's. And now you can even go beyond that to the pre's, living precautionarily.
Yeah.
You don't destroy the pieces that remain still intact, like wilderness, to retain carbon sequestration in effective ecological processes. So the possibility of learning how to be a more decent human, I feel climate change can be that path, because it's real, it's urgent. It gives you daily feedback. It causes us to communicate with people that we would not otherwise normally be connected with.
Cross boundaries, cross cultures, cross races. Yeah. I mean, this is our planet that we're all residing on, black, white, pink, yellow, polka dot, who cares, right?
Yeah.
And we've got to step across those borders and forget about the differences and look at the common denominator here, the commonalities.
Well, it's meta, isn't it?
Yeah.
The connection between here and here, my heart and my head is 12 inches. The connection between the choices that I make are however. So we keep moving out in a fractal way.
Yeah.
But it's all about reconnecting, revaluing, respecting our place on the planet and where we are in this web of life.
Yes. And that, we need to step into some heart to do that, because it's only when we care that we're actually going to step up and do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, when you say to someone, I'm going to take away your fast car, or, you know, your house that's running on so much, and your big fat steak and this and that, they go into panic. But if you step into heart and have them step into a consciousness about how they use these resources, and that, do they really need all of that? Do they really need to have that? If you really want a fast car, drive a Tesla.
It's not about giving up.
Right.
It's about gaining.
Yeah.
All of that stuff that we were placing in our life was supposed to bring us happiness. And what I am noticing, even in my own life, first of all, I don't consider anybody a perfect person when it comes to living on the planet.
Nope.
We all have our own ways of improving our consciousness. So Yesterday, I happened to sit in the airport with a fellow on Alaska Airlines who is really understanding the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. How we got talking about it, I don't know, because I just got back from
like LA, energies.
2,200 climate reality leaders mentoring 21 college students. And he says, oh yeah, I just got back from Nome, Alaska. I've been with researchers studying polar bears and this and that. I was like, really? Tell me about that. And as it turns out, he's a very successful Republican businessman mm-hmm. who has 7 houses and all these far-flung trips around the world. And so even though he's very consciously aware and has solar panels on his businesses and all of the accoutrement, he has 7 houses.
So that's 7 wives in each house. I don't know.
Maybe. Right. So yeah, the point is none of us, even no matter how, you know, and then he turned around and said, oh yeah, Al Gore has a big farm and he flies in his plane everywhere. It's like, that's right. None of us is perfect.
Right. But
that doesn't give us permission to abdicate our
responsibility. Right. Or point fingers, because mm-hmm. it's just stepping up and speaking something until they come around with the electric planes. And I know a little bit about that. They can't do that yet because of the electronic blah, 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 blah. But until they do, or until Scotty can beam us up and beam us to where we're going, we mm-hmm. are going to consume some resources getting to places to speak to the word, you know, to be able to mm-hmm. get this out there. And it's let's not harp on those little things. You know, let us concentrate on what we can do and the impact we can have and stop going, yes, but, you know, mm-hmm. because the yes, but isn't doing us any good. It's like,
yes, and,
you know, what
yes,
can we?
Yes, and.
Yes.
Yes, and in a world of infinite possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We all win.
Yes. And we know from history, whenever there's been a crisis or a need for something, and you put the heads together, look what we come up with. Right. Look at what we are living with today in technology. Mm-hmm. Look at how they've taken plastic and made roads out of it. They're making houses out of it. They're doing all sorts of things out of it. Look at how people, because they know plastic's killing the planet, are now creating biodegradable plastics. I mean, the thing is, when we know that there is something that needs to be fixed, we're incredibly creative in finding mm-hmm. a solution. We've just got to not be scared about it and come together and share what those creative forces are.
I think it would be wise for us to start being discerning and asking more beautiful questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the questions would be to ask ourselves is not only what does this planet mean to us, what does it mean to us? How do we see it? And then ask the question of is what are we doing in gratitude mm-hmm. to this planet? Because mm-hmm. if we're taking things for granted, then we're not living in gratitude. When we start living in gratitude for what we have, then we start appreciating something and stepping up to in that gratitude to sustain it.
Yeah, that taking for granted piece is really interesting, because when there is no respect, mm-hmm. the grantor of the gift, whatever species or habitat it is on Earth, when that is not respected, it kind of retracts, withers, and moves away and says, I'm not appreciated here.
Yes.
I'm leaving. And mm-hmm. it does. And there are species that are rapidly trying to migrate as fast as possible to a new ecosystem that will support their life gift.
Right. Yes. And it's interesting that we're seeing that, because actually I think at the present moment, the animal, the insect, the bird species are speaking to us very loudly right now. And they're educating us very, very loudly. And I think we're seeing now such wisdom coming from these animal species. People just are just animals, you know, just birds, just this. And now we're actually looking at them as these beautiful energy sources that they are, and learning so much from them. And you know what we're seeing is compassion coming from animal species, of, you know, rescuing another other animals, and they're not anything anywhere near their species, but they see the need for love or for support, and they can bridge those barriers because we're so hung up on differences. You know, instead of just registering that we're all this beautiful vibrational energy that can be love if we choose it to be.
We're in the midst of a sixth mass extinction, and that is caused by human activity on Earth.
Yes.
So years ago, we had millions of acres of old growth forest were devastated by spruce bark beetle kill here in Alaska. 2 million acres, and subsequently I've learned that the pine bark beetle is in the midst of doing the same thing now in Colorado. So these infestations of species that destroy their hosts, to me it feels like, as you say, a warning sign. It's also an invitation to wake up.
Yes.
So I choose to look at it in that way. And a local artist who now has passed away, but she did a series of octopus ink sketches, drawings on where will the birds go. Mm-hmm. I remember looking at each of those and thinking, I wonder what their bird song sounded like, because I probably won't hear that again. Mm-hmm. And so I went about the process of teaching my son. I got one of those interactive books that had bird songs in it, and we learned the bird songs together. So I offer that to say it is a moment for us to learn how to reconnect and respect anew. And I hope that rather than an us and them mentality,
yes,
we find a we sharing and caring mentality, so that we are in this current climate crisis together. And how can we extend our hand across the sand and raise each other up?
I think it's feel the earth's heartbeat and realize it's crying. You know, it's crying, it's retaliating, it's rebelling. You know, part of it is its natural process. Part of it is saying, you're pushing me too fast, too far. And saying, you know, look, you know, I've just read that we are, as human species, 0.01 in all the species in the world. But we are the most destructive. But we're also the most creative. And I think it comes down now to choice. What are we choosing to be? Because we cannot carry on our destructive ways and this opulence at anything at any cost. We've seen what it's doing, and it's taken time away from this planet's resources. It will not be able to sustain us anymore because of what we're doing. We're raping and pillaging her in many, many ways. And if we don't step up and step into some heart, step into some caring, and start really acknowledging Mother Earth and the nature and the beauty, the wind, the trees, the water, and start paying attention to what this planet gives us. How are we going to step into appreciation? How are we going to take responsibility? You know, I want people to suddenly get that guilty feeling, oh my God, I've been doing this. But don't beat yourself up about it. Now you know, what are you going to do about it and to change?
I don't know. I don't think that guilt and shame is an effective tool.
It's sometimes a good shift maker, because until people actually have something that really makes them realize, you know, this is what's happening and I've been a contributor to it, it doesn't mean beat themselves up about it, but it is a realization that sometimes people just need to have that realization, that moment that shifts them onto a different path.
Possibly. I walked across the country in 2014 in the Great March for Climate Action from LA to DC. I spent every day listening to people who 4 years ago were for sure mostly in denial. I think there's been a recent extreme weather occurrence that is starting to waken people up. I think Earth is the most effective at waking people up. I I feel like it is us to be the most effective communicators as to how we respond in mitigation and adaptation to ensure the survivability of ours and other species still clinging to life.
For life itself, despite the species, life itself, you know, it's, we're seeing things go extinct every day. And, you know, it's what is our part in that? And, you know, of course, rainforest and, you know, there's so many things that we're seeing that now we know. You see, before when we didn't know, we didn't know. So we didn't know how it affected it or what the domino effect was. Mm-hmm. Now we really don't have an excuse because knowledge is everywhere. Google it, it's there, it's in the papers, it's everywhere, and people are talking about it. It's very hard to ignore it. So the conversation is happening, and I think we, instead of ignoring the conversation, is to step up into it and go, okay, what do I need to know? What can I do? How can I be a part of it?
Yeah, so I just spent the last 36 hours with two highly successful, well-educated, healthy, balanced family people who absolutely do not get climate change. Mm-hmm. They are in denial. And so I keep asking myself, what is it about this condition of denial? And kind of my thinking right now about it is at this point, and it certainly can evolve further, is that when you have a life that is in this beautiful bubble and you have everything that you dreamed of, and someone comes along and says, you know what, that's at risk, you kind of clamp down and go, I've worked so hard my whole life to get here. I'm here. I don't want it to change. I just want to protect it. So I think there's an opening there for recognizing that what feels like security is really insane jeopardy. If you own anything in Southern Florida, you should immediately sell it and run to the hills somewhere in the interior of the country, because already sea level rise is happening there. We have 34,000 miles of coastline here in Alaska. Kivalina is literally eroding into the ocean. An Alaskan village of a few hundred people will cost hundreds of millions of dollars to move.
Right.
Now, take that calculation, exponentialize it with 80% of the planet living within 100 kilometers of a coastline, 7 times 7.4 billion. Those numbers are insane.
Yeah.
We have to work together.
Yes.
We have no alternative.
No, no. And the thing is we've also, you know, got to be open to different points of view, different ways of looking at things, because ultimately everybody's got the interest in there to recognize there is a problem. But just, you know, like we are all different in our points of view and our perspectives, we've also got to be open to the dialogue. And we can't shut people down. We have to be open, because we may disagree with one part, but there may be something else they come out with that we completely agree with. And that's what we can work with. And I feel that there's so much fighting going on about it that we're
not
getting
to
it. This is the thing, is that, you know, a lot of people go, why him? And I say, you we had to have him, because we had
responsible
to wake up to the fact that you gave your power away, and look what happened. And that if you continue to give your power away, you will be powerless. You'll take it back to the dark ages. So what are you going to do to rise up, not with pitchforks or arm in arms, but arm in arm together to resolve the issue? Because this is an invitation to humanity, not to America or Canada or the US or England or Europe. It is an invitation to humanity to come together for the greater good of sustainability for all living species. It's not a political thing.
Yeah, it's a universal call for safety.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this is an exceptional planet, but again, people go back and say, oh, no, it's been here for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. It's not going anywhere. But you know what? If we continue to do what we're doing, yes, it is. Definitely. So, yes, I mean, the Trumpsters of the world, you have to keep shaking your head. But at the same time, he's stirring the pot. And that's what he's there for, to stir the pot and allow other voices to come through. And that's what we, you know, we have to be those voices. That's the reason why we're doing this series.
Yeah. Right?
Is to bring those voices together.
Tell me more about how you see this is all coming
together.
You know
what? I'm going to pay attention to what time that was, because I'm going to use what we just said and insert that into the other video. So we had a good 35 minutes there that needs to go in. That was on a flow. So what we can do now is take some more time, which I can then slice and put in together, and I'll do an intro as well. But we had a good content there. So basically what the series is, and Alison has started it off, is it's talking about the human emotional climate to climate change. So yes, we know there is a problem. We need to discuss what the problem is, but we also need to present the solutions, and we need to be invitational to people to understand that the biggest problem between us and climate change is our emotional climate. And when we change that, we'll be able to, as human beings, absolutely in creative and getting together, put up our sleeves and find some solutions to the problem, but not if we're still stuck in the emotional climate. So that's what this series is about, is a getting around that so we can get to what is being done, and what still needs to be done. An invitation. Let's get over ourselves and let's get on with it. Okay, so we've had the nitty-gritty. We know where the problem lies. We know that, you know, what the obstacles are. But now, your instrument, you know, you're about finding those leaders and inspiring them to step up and bring their wonderful creativity and information to the table. Can you tell us more about your platform and what you're doing and the broad spectrum it has and the invitation you have out for everybody?
Yeah, so I am really interested in this intersectionality of earth care and how we take ideas, add action for greater global impact. So the area that new ideas come from, I think, are, for me, in the TEDx world, technology, entertainment, and design. Our events, so about 25,000 of them have happened over the last decade. Wow. We have over 100,000 TEDx talks. My teams have produced 150 of those. We have over 1 million views.
Wow.
But for all of TEDx around the planet, there have been over 2 billion views. So that's a lot of good ideas floating out there. But an idea is only as good as it is grabbed and turned into action for global impact and local impact. So started a virtual Rotary Club called We Rotary, and there are now about 300 virtual e-clubs for Rotary around the planet. And we are all business leaders and community givers. And so we're used to doing things on a local scale. Our Rotary Club happens to be global in nature, and what we focus on is creating a more peaceful world. Mm-hmm. So we take those ideas from TEDx, we apply global leaders to them, and then we create both local and global change around them.
You're enabling the good ideas to happen. And this is the thing, a good idea is a good idea, just like a dream is a dream. But until we actually implement it, you know, and gather the people together to actually make it happen, it just stays an idea, doesn't it?
Yes,
so to be able to take those ideas and then gather the people together to say, okay, what are we going to do now in order to implement this? I think is wonderful. What a juiciness for the people to go, yeah, I want to be a part of this, you know?
Yeah. So like a lot of people say, oh, I want to give a TED Talk. Well, so in our case, we do a deep curation process. We look for those really outstanding ideas for those people who are making big, bold changes already. And then we help them over almost a year process refine what that idea is, so that now that they are heroes, they can pull that sword out of the stone.
Yes.
And give that magic sword to others, so the audience can become the next heroes.
Right.
And they then can become the Yoda.
Yeah.
In that area, and support others to go out there and take that idea and turn it into action.
It's keeping the flow going, isn't it? It's not meant mm-hmm. to be stagnant or stop at one person.
Right.
You know, you reach your particular height and it's for you to pass on the baton. And then you're there to help support, nurture, and guide that other person. So it's not about the one person in the spotlight. It's about where does the light shine on everyone? And it, again, it goes back to that community, goes back to that participation of everybody has a role to play. And mm-hmm. and sometimes it's just to sit back and watch and maybe mm-hmm. give an idea or support or, you know, suggestion, and sometimes just celebration. And it's yeah. knowing what your role is, because I think we also have to look at the totally different paradigm now of mentoring, of teaching, of guiding, because it's so different. The way we learn, the way we actually bring about the ideas, and how we go about them. And we can't look at an old paradigm. We have to look at things need to flow and grow, right?
And what a beautiful time to be alive on the
yes.
planet. We have all of these free global communication tools where I'm talking with women who walk for 4 hours to get to an internet connection, but they are emergent leaders in their communities, and then connect them with resources. There is so much possibility that is ripe in this moment.
Yes.
We look at it from a point of view of how do we connect ever larger circles of need and resources together.
And I think, do not look about, I'm only one person, what have I got to give? It's ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And the only way yeah. you can do that is just to say, I don't know what I've got to contribute, but I'm going to jump in anyway. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter, CEO, janitor, everybody has that role to play, and it's important. And you may not know what it is that you've got to give until you get there. And then you go, you know what, I can do that. Right?
Yeah. I did a TEDx talk in Boston, a TEDx speaker Street on turning teens into extraordinary citizens mm-hmm. from ordinary to extraordinary mm-hmm. by giving them power and positions of decision,
yeah.
not after they're teenagers, but while right. they're teenagers.
Yes. And our kids today, you know, the teenagers and the kids that are filled with such beautiful wisdom. And
come
yeah,
on, they've got these little cell
yes.
phones. They have instant access
yeah.
to all the existing knowledge in the world.
But you know, the beauty of it?
To guide them to use
yes.
it effectively.
The thing is, they're not contaminated by old, outdated knowledge. They see something and they're still very much in that practical mode. Well, we can or we can't. Let's see what we can do about it. There isn't that whole dialogue that we seem to get as we get older. Oh, no, you can't do that. The gray hairs are going to stop us. This person's going to stop us. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to accept that. For them, they don't hear any of that. It's like, oh, this is a good idea. What can we do? How do we go about it? Right? That's it.
Yeah.
Let's catch into that enthusiasm.
Yeah, I was mentoring last week 21 college kids from UCLA, UC Santa Barbara, UCSD, and UC Riverside. And Al Gore was giving his 2-hour presentation, which is a lot of doom and gloom.
Yes.
Really serious yes. weather extreme events that have happened over the last 4 years. And I was just observing them, wondering how they were going to respond. In they were just trained to it. Mm. Just like, okay, this is where we are on the planet. Not in judgment, not in anger, not in fear, but just focused, paying attention. This is where we are. Boy, aren't we lucky that we really know where we are.
So we know where we can go, yeah.
So one of those students Al had talked on a panel about SB 100, which is taking the state of California to 100% renewable energy by 2045. The panelists said, yes, they're doing a vote right now. Then during the panel, we discovered that the vote had happened, but it didn't pass, but they were going to vote again. And during another breakout session, one of my students stood up at the end of that session. It was a 90-minute session, so 90 minutes had passed. In the Q&A, he stood up. It was about climate communication. He stood up, asked the question, right now there is one senator who has not yet voted. Can you all, 700 people in the room, please call this number? We did. In the 5 minutes it took for us to walk down the hall from that session to the next session, that vote was retaken. All of those calls were heard. That senator voted in the positive. He stood up at the mic in the next session and announced to 700 people the power that they had just taken and caused Senate Bill 100 to pass.
Right. And that's the thing, is that one person's decided to get everyone together in synchronicity, in the now, to do something and look at the impact. It wasn't like open for discussion, what do you think? It's like, come on, folks, let's work together. That's the only way we're going to create change.
He was strategic. He was specific. He was timely. He was very precise. We must learn how to be discerning.
Yes.
Doing things because we feel better isn't going to change things on the scale that we need to change things now.
Right.
We need wholesale policy change. We need entire industries to reinvent themselves.
Yes.
We need new businesses to emerge. Wholesale retraining of jobs.
Yes.
This is an incredibly opportunistic time if we see it that way. If we hunker down and hold on to the old, we will lose it all. We will lose security. Yep. We will lose survivability. We will lose synergy. It's all at risk in this moment. Each one of us has to step up and give everything we've got every moment that we have.
We're at our Noah's Ark at the moment, aren't we? And it's like, you know, come on, folks. You either got to get left behind or you're going to get on the boat and we're going to sail into solution.
I love that. Sail into solution. That's beautiful. Can I feel that, please?
Yeah, most certainly. The thing is, you know, this is what harps on. We talk about the change of climate within our emotions first, because until we register that, until we get that resolved, we're not going to be looking at the creative changes that we can adapt, adopt, or create. And I think one of the paradigms of fear, we have media around us that is constantly, hysteria. And even, you know, with Al Gore, as you said, 2 hours of doom and gloom. Well, that doom and gloom, for some people, will just shut them down. It won't be an invitation to step up. So there's always about the balance. So there's the doom and gloom. Now you need that energy. And it comes from the young people and say, okay, we've inherited a problem here. What are we going to do about it? We can do A, B, C, D, and F. And then all of a sudden, you're given the empowerment. The empowerment to the solution. And that's so very, very important.
Yeah, so let's talk about the solution. Go visit Drawdown. It's well-researched solutions. The number one thing that we can do, let's see, I think you might have lost my video.
Here. Yes, we have it. Hopefully you'll come back.
I'm coming back. There you go.
There we go. We got it back.
Yeah. Okay. The number one thing you can do is educate women and girls. If you empower females on the planet, females get it about bringing life through our body.
Yeah.
It's so we need to step up. We need to assume more leadership and ownership of life on Earth. And instead of ceding it to the way it's always been done by the guys who have always done it, we need to be specific. We need to be flexible. We need to be inclusive. We need to be proactive.
Yes.
Women know how to do that. It's our natural way for our neural plasticity is already networked in that way. But it's not to leave the guys out.
No.
It's to extend a hand and say, come with me. You are balance not other. You balance. Are with me.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, for so long, the voice hasn't been there. But when you stop and you think about it, women are the biggest consumers. I'm not talking about going out and just having a shopping spree on, you know, Avenue 5 or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about every bit of food on the table, the clothing, the this thing, the that thing, the laundry detergent.
Transportation.
Transportation,
education. Exactly. We make those decisions.
Exactly. And so, but the voice hasn't been heard. The power we have as women right now is absolutely incredible, because we not only can relate to Mother Earth and the life that she holds and the life that we've held within us and the life that we're responsible for as a parent, but we also can step up and be very, very much about the changes that we make and the empowerment of our voice and talking. I mean, when we think about it, let's think about this. Mamas are generally very sensible. You know, when it's when the kids are playing up, but why? Well, let me give you the reasons why. You know, A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I can't argue with that. Well, why aren't we not stepping up and using our voice of sensibility? Because we need that.
Beautiful questions, more beautiful questions, more simple questions. Questions like, how do you move through space? Mm-hmm. How do you stay comfortable? How do you group up? If you really look at these things underneath that, we'll start to discover there's more humanity in our connection
yes.
than there is in our separation.
Oh, yes. Yes. And we're all wanting to belong. We're all wanting to be a part of something. You know, I talk about the global village community all the time. You know, mm-hmm. we are only as strong as we are together. Each coming together with our own skills, our own knowledge, our own enthusiasm, being there in times of support and being there in times of celebration and being there in times of tragedy and stepping up. When we see that of community coming together in the form of rescue or supporting one another, that's the best of humanity. Why do we reserve it only for when we have a crisis? We're in a crisis right now. Let us step into that humanity right now.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Mm. I think it has something to do with, there was a TED Talk years ago about people who procrastinate. They're called procrastinating producers. They don't take action until it's absolutely the last moment. And I'm wondering if humanity as a whole is like that. Mm-hmm. I find the indigenous to be more connected with Earth and to be more precautionary mm-hmm. because they retain the learnings of previous generations. Mm-hmm. So many of us here in America are even hard pressed to know where our grandparents came from
right.
or what their lives were like. We might know what nationality that was, but gosh, we go back to great grandparents. Quite likely, if you're west of the Mississippi, you have to imagine what that was like instead of really knowing. So it's for us to really honor those yeah. differences and still be appreciative that we don't have to be mono-ethnic mm-hmm. in order to survive. There is greater chance of survival when there is diversity.
Yeah.
And I know that brings a lot of uncomfort to people who don't really want things to change. They right. really like the way their life is right now.
Yes.
But Earth is changing mm-hmm. and we either change with it or we don't.
I mean, Earth gave us all these different beautiful species. Mm-hmm. So why are you fighting Earth's decision? Mm-hmm. You know, why are we not celebrating those beautiful differences? Because it's like going to a buffet. You may not like every dish there, but you yeah. have a choice to sample each one of them, and you have no idea what you're going to like until you dip in. So yeah. why are you judging someone by the exterior, or you know, mm-hmm. by the religion, or by a particular point of view on something? Why mm-hmm. are we not conversing and getting to know one another from the inside out? And yeah. we'll see the common denominator is this. We all want to count. We all want to be loved. We all want to have the ability to love. Mm-hmm. We all want to be safe. We all want to know the sustainability in our jobs and food and shelter. We want to feel that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are or where you're from. Those general feelings are at what the core is, what is at the core of us all.
Yeah. I feel like it's an amazing moment to be able to redefine our humanity. What are the things that we cling to? What is the stuff? How do we move through space? How do we get from point A to point B? Do we do it with others? Do we do it alone? Do we do it at a certain level of comfort? Mm-hmm. Do we have to be in a cold place or a hot place? Or what kind of clothes do we feel we have to express ourselves with? What kind of buildings do we shelter ourselves with? What kind of systems do we have in place? We really have an opportunity right now in this moment to reconsider all of these.
Yeah.
And if we do it with consideration for the whole rather than the self, I think we'll have a more robust economy.
Yes.
It will be different.
Yes.
I think we'll have a more beautiful and lasting ecology. I coined a word economology, which is an economy that respects a balanced ecology. Mm-hmm. And so right now, all of the industrial processes that damage Earth, they cast all of the costs for that out to the commons.
Mm-hmm.
So the poor people on the planet right now who are suffering the worst from climate change, most of them haven't even been involved in any of the three industrial revolutions that have already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already on to the fourth one. We are interested in artificial intelligence and big data. But the good news is many of them have got cell phones. So that kind of interconnectivity, that networking, that access to information is a new thing. And I think it can be a bridge between the us and the them. But walking across the country, we started out in Wilmington. That community, we had 2,000 nurses, indigenous people, black people, Latinos, doctors saying, we are dying here. We have cancer clusters. We have respiratory diseases. We have all kinds of cancers and heart disease. This is because that is an area where there are oil derricks. It's the largest urban exploration for oil and gas in the whole country. So people are dying right there. But those people are not living in comfort.
No.
There were guys with greasy overalls trying to tape together old cars that were spewing out black exhaust. So that community is suffering the greatest from the comfort of other communities that are enjoying all of
what they're producing.
The benefits.
Yeah.
So it's that coming together rather than making the have-nots the enemy. What is it about the haves that could have more, greater security, less threat, less shooting, less guns, less nuclear threat? How could we all enjoy a more peaceful planet with greater prosperity without the us versus them?
Right. Yes, and this us versus them is something that gets stirred up a great deal in the media. And it's been something that's been stirred up from the beginning of time. When you look at children, they have no idea that somebody's different, right? It's something imposed upon them by parenting, by church, by school. And all of a sudden you look at somebody as being different. They're not rich enough. They're not popular enough. They're not white enough. They're not this enough. And it's, we've got to stop with the judgment. We've got to stop with the not enough. And we've got to say, well, if they're not enough, how can I empower them to be more? Right?
So that's a beautiful question. How much is enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
A TEDx Yale speaker, Christina Mittermeier, did a talk on enoughness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was prescient for this moment. She did that back in 2012, I think. But here's an example. Look, California is leading America in all of the states. in decreasing our emissions. It's number one. It's right. Dropped emissions dramatically. It's also enjoyed over that period of time a 14% increase in employment.
Yes.
So the economy is shifting
yes.
to a greener, greater level. Yeah. And yeah. I'm sitting here in Alaska going, oh my gosh, we have one industry. 90% of our budget for the state comes from oil and gas. Mm-hmm. Where's the diversity in that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crashed. The price crashed over yes. the previous 3 years. We had a sovereign fund of about $64 billion. I think we might have spent 14 of it over the last almost 4 years trying to buoy up the government because that price being depressed created a recession in our state.
Yes.
So how can we have a more diverse economy that takes care of this wild nature? I mean, when you think of Alaska, don't you think of
yes, yes.
incredible wilderness?
Yes.
Isn't that it? You want to see the bears,
yes.
polar bears, grizzly bears, whales, otters, sandhill cranes, all of this beautiful nature. Well, where there are oil and gas exploration, it's not so nice.
No.
We have 500 spills in Alaska a year.
Right. I mean, this let's is what,
have a you know, sunny, let's have a sunny day. That's right. The kind of beautiful solar spill I'd like to have.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is this is what Polly Higgins of the Ecocide Law is about, is bringing about a criminal law that it isn't where they lawyer up. It is about where they, whoever is at the head of it, it faces criminal justice. So if they have to go to jail, then they have to go to jail, but they have to follow the codes, and it cannot be anything that knowingly hurts humanity or the planet. And that's really gathering momentum and is meant to come into play very soon.
I just want to show you what Alaska can be like. So that is what Alaska is to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it takes all of us throughout America to keep Alaska wild and clean and free. Right over there at the other end of this piece of land, which is called the Spit, you see that kind of jutting out there?
Yeah, yep.
So right at the end of that on the other side by the mountains, they wanted to put 25 years ago oil derricks. We rose up and yes. we said, no, the beauty of this place is too special.
Yeah.
We can't have oil and gas exploration here.
Right. Yes.
So wherever it is in our communities, let's figure out how we can quantum leap to the next kind of energy production.
And the thing is, there is energy in production right now. There is so many choices now that we can go to that can provide us with cheaper energy, cheaper fuel for our homes, and also provide different jobs. I mean, why does somebody have to be in a coal mine, you know, putting their lives at risk? 39 coal mines have been closed down by this couple of men, and every single person from there either got retired or got re-educated into a better job. And the job is not putting their lives at risk. We know with the oil, it's, you know, it's going by the way of the of obsolescence because of the spills, because of the cost, because of the constant games that are played with prices and everything else. There are options out there. And one of the things we have to do is open up our eyes to see that there are so many other ways we can do this that doesn't damage life and doesn't damage the planet.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's exciting. It's a wonderful time to be alive.
And it's a wonderful time to actually have this kind of medium. You know, the TED Talks, these kind of talks under this umbrella of Let's Get Synced, because everybody's passionate about what they're doing. And the more we bring people to the feast and the more people sample it, the more they realize that they've got the empowerment to do something themselves, or even just to join one of these causes, to be inspired by saying, hey, I really love what they're doing. I want to be a part of that. So yeah. Will you tell people you're there to help the leaders get their ideas out there, but can you elaborate a little bit on that, and then also how people can be a part of it and how they can get a hold of you?
TEDx there are TEDxes around the planet. Chances are, if you live in a city, you probably have at least one, if not several TEDxes. So I would go to TED.com and search online, and you can find a local TEDx. Rotary, the same thing. There are Rotary clubs in almost every village around the planet. So join one of those if taking action is of interest to you. Wild Foundation will be doing the 11th World Wilderness Congress in Yunnan, China next fall. I'm not sure if it's going to be in Yunnan, but it will be next fall in China. Here's one thing I wanted to say about China. A lot of Americans point the finger at China and go, oh, they're polluting so much. They also are incredibly organized at tackling pollution. So at 2015 at the Paris Accord for climate that all countries on the planet signed, including the United States, even though we've just gone out of it under President Trump's direction. Keep breathing. It doesn't go into effect until after the next election in 2020.
Okay.
So we're not out of it yet. At that meeting, I was part of a meeting of Global Summit for Local Leaders. There were 750 people there. One third of them, 250, were mayors from cities in China. Many of them that had just been created over the last 30 years and had millions of people in them.
Right.
Each one of those mayors had a five-year plan. They were already well into those plans in 2015. So they've completely outstripped us with solar, wind. They're making incredible innovations in transportation, the design of urban centers. So be buoyed up. Places all around the planet are getting it. We're getting different solutions in place. We can learn from each other. I love this platform, this way that you're connecting different ideators up for solution. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and this, you know, the point is it's not a competition. You know, what we're looking at is collaboration. You know, it is, you know, I've got this tool, you've got that tool. What happens if we put it together? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, look at what we've got now. And I think what we're looking at, and this is actually something that Nick and John of Simple Solutions talk about, you know, of creating a policy that will go through every government everywhere, that so simultaneously implementing them in a way that puts everybody on the same playing field. And it's something we're empowered to do right now is that we will not vote our particular politicians in unless they sign this agreement that they will represent this policy. There we have the power to say, I'm not going to vote for you unless you stand for this. And so we're seeing, you know, policies and we're seeing ideas and implementations of laws and other things coming into play because people, ordinary people, saw a need and said, I've got to do something about it. And this 18-year journey, 20-year journey, 30-year journey, they've had their ups and downs, but they haven't given up. Because they know how important it is.
Look, this is a marathon. It might feel like a sprint, but it's a lifetime pathway.
Yeah.
And there are going to be heartbreaks along the way. There are going to be joys. It's a dance.
Yeah.
You know, we get to decide who we tango with. We get to decide the music. We get to choose the venue. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, as Alison said, it's a party. It's about bringing everyone to the party in celebration of this fantastic planet and how awesome we can be and how we can bring everything together in sustainability. So,
but it's,
you know,
it requires being smart.
Smart, you know, and participatory and ownership responsible.
Yep. You know, show up.
So, I mean, show up in your own life.
Wear comfortable
shoes.
Show
up in other life. Exactly. You know, this is not a sit back from your couch and your lazy boy. This is step up because you've also got to understand that your lack of participation or your lack of care or even willing to open up your mind to anything is coming from a disconnect within you. So it's not connecting within yourself. Develop that heart conscience. Develop that that feeling that I really can't stand by and see this planet go to pot because we're doing the wrong things. And let's step up and do something about it, because it requires all of us. And, you know, denial isn't going to work. You know, well, we live here.
Be willing to hear those hard conversations. Be willing to
without judgment
the reflection back, holding ourselves accountable when we make mistakes.
Right.
We're not perfect. No. We're going to fail. Yeah. And it's what we do after that that matters.
The judgment of it. It's the awareness of it. Every single one of us has been guilty over a practice that we've done, and now we know better. So how can we continue that practice on in good conscience?
Yeah.
Right? So it's our good conscience that we're asking people to step into and be a part of something. Even with this series, even if you're not going to join any single one of the clubs, get this moving around. Share it with everyone you know. Have a conversation. Who you don't know whose light you're going to switch on along the way. And maybe that person's light is exactly the light we're looking for at that moment. So don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid to share. Don't be afraid to discuss, not argue, discuss. And step out of judgment, but be invitational and inspirational, because this is what's going to keep the momentum going.
Absolutely.
So how do people get hold of you? How do they become part of your movement? How does somebody get your leadership skills?
Well, I am a volunteer in these global social movements, just as anyone else would be who contacted me. So really, if you're interested in TEDx, go to TED.com. Attend conferences, be informed.
But you help leaders become activated, so how can we reach you on that?
Yeah, you can go to Climate Reality Leadership Project. There's a training coming in March in Atlanta. There are periodic trainings, so if you go to Climate Reality Leadership Project, you'll find where the next training will be. Those are free trainings so far, and I highly recommend them because you'll really become well-informed. Rotary, you can go on Facebook and look up We Rotary Club. You can see what we're up to if it interests you, making world peace in that way through good, clean environmental action. We plant second generation Hiroshima survivor trees to generate the conversation about nuclear nonproliferation. That project is called HEIWA, H-E-I-W-A, which means peace in Japanese.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So good. So basically, you're out there dipping your toes and fingers into everything. And if somebody's inspired by what they're doing, can they reach you personally or just reach you?
Yeah. You can message me on Facebook, Kat Haber, K-A-T-H-A-B-E-R. That's probably the best way to reach me.
Excellent. Wonderful. You're an inspiration. You know, your passion, your conviction, and your ability to actually be the wind and go wherever you're needed, which is, you know, some people it's the focus on the. For you, you are the wind that gets all those the's out there in conversation.
I'm a generalist.
So thank you for being the wind and just keeping the movement going. So no hurricanes, thank you. Just the nudge.
Just blowing kisses. Love and gratitude.
Thank you so much for being here today and sharing this, and definite inspiration. And that invitation for people to, it doesn't matter what you do, but just step up and do something. Right? Because every little helps. And if every single body on this planet stepped up and gave an inch, gave 6 inches, gave a yard, you know, the metrics, whatever, I'm still an inch and yard person. But if everybody gave a damn, right, we would start seeing the changes that we need. And
I think everybody does give a damn. It's just that some people, the damn looks like me. Selfishness.
Yes.
Me and mine and not in my backyard and all of that I-ness.
Yes.
And that's fine. I'm glad that you've made your mark and that you've got all that you need. But there are Billions literally on the planet who do not.
And the thing is at whose expense?
Yeah.
Right? At whose expense? And this is the thing, is that there's always a piper to pay somewhere along the line. And for all the people that are living in that opulence thinking they're okay, Jack, you know, at some point, there is a piper to pay. And that's nothing to say, be rich, be abundant, have a lot. Don't forget to seed opportunities for other people to grow as well, because that's what it's about. And, you know, in everything, in every aspect of our lives, in all of our consciousness. But I think if people got out into nature and started just looking at nature, feeling nature and how it makes you feel, let it just immerse itself into you, you will start looking at it and going, you know, maybe I need to step up and start treating Mama Earth a little better.
Here's the simple thing. Be outside at dawn and dusk. If you did that, your body would help you remember how connected you are to this planet.
Yes. And the reminder is needed. And for those that are already remembered, please, whatever it is that you're doing, keep doing it.
And, and thank you.
Yes, and thank you for participating. And share these Get Synced shows. There's plenty before. There's plenty more to come after. And please share them around. Have conversation. Listen to them as a family. And start a conversation with people about what can we do? What were you inspired about? What triggered something, you know, in there? Because this is what it's about. It's to light that little flame there and ignite it into passion, compassion, action, something. Okay, so please. Thank you so much, Kat. It's been wonderful having you here today. Until next time, folks, remember, we are the difference that we seek. And we are very, very capable of being a wonderful difference. Until next time, folks, bye for now. For more wonderful shows like this, please go to selfdiscoveryradio.com, podcasts, and see our lineup. And if you wish to support us, we have a funded button. Please stay tuned for our next show.